When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 579 of the Talking Friars podcast and YouTube show. Ben Fadden with you here. It is March 28th, 2024, a late night show. I'm sure that most of the audience is going to be listening to this back on replay or watching this back on YouTube on replay. So I appreciate everyone that is doing that. Those that are live, I really appreciate you. It's past 10:30 o'clock. It's past 10:30 at night. And I'm tired. You know, Scott Van Pelt on SportsCenter, when he says it's like midnight and I'm not tired yet. Well, I'm not going to lie. It's been a long day, but it was an exciting day in San Diego with the home opener and with the Aztecs playing in the Sweet 16. Obviously, the result there for the Aztecs was not what we wanted, and I'll get into that in a little bit. But it was a fun result for the Padres, for Padres fans, for the city of San Diego. And so that's what I want to get into here first. If you want to join the show, you can click that link that is pinned up at the top of the chat. I will get into the comments. Anyone that is live here, I will get into those comments, get into that chat here in a little bit. But let's just start right off the bat. Padres home opener. They get the win over the San Francisco Giants. Final score was 6-4. 2-1 is the Padres record now, obviously. They split the first two games of their season against the Dodgers in Seoul, come back home. They had the Peter Seidler Memorial. They had the two exhibition games against the Seattle Mariners. And then they play today. They get this win. I thought that it was a well-played game for the most part. You know, this Padres offense, it's been encouraging in two of the three games. And if you think back to the first game against the Dodgers, if that ball didn't go through Jake Cronenworth's glove, who knows what would have happened? Would it have been a tie game still at the end of that inning? Would the Padres have went on to win that game? Would they be 3-0? Like, just who knows? So I think this is a really good start to the season for the Padres. I'm not saying that these three games here means that the Padres are definitely making the postseason. I believe that the end of the day that they will make the postseason, but there's still a long ways to go. But no doubt, like, there were positive signs from today. Yu Darvish, the way he pitched, pulling up his final line here, 5 innings. And that's what I said on my pregame thoughts. I thought he'd be able to go five. He goes five hits, 1 earned run, walked just 1, struck out 7 guys. So a good start to his season. Obviously, no earned runs allowed in that Dodger start. And then the bullpen, sure, Brito gave up a couple earned runs and Suarez gave up that home run. But when you're in Robert Suarez's spot, you're just trying to throw strikes in that scenario. I mean, you have a lead, you have a little bit of a cushion, just throw strikes, get this over with. And so I'm not going to freak out too much about that home run that he allowed to Michael Conforto. Matsui, an inning in 2/3, doesn't give up any runs. Tom Cosgrove, how good was Tom Cosgrove today? And that's definitely the name that I'm watching in this bullpen for him to, like, break. Maybe last year was the breakout for Tom Cosgrove, but I think he could be like a big household name in Major League Baseball. I think if he can pitch really well in this Padres bullpen this year, I know we all remember him for the big strikeout of Shohei Ohtani last year when he was with the Angels and how ridiculous he made Shohei look. He was throwing some of those pitches today. So nasty stuff from Tom Cosgrove. And then the offense. Runners in scoring position, 4-for-12, which is a lot better than what they had last year. That needs to be consistent. And you'd like to have more extra base hits than one, which was the Jake Cronenworth double, although that was a huge double. What I liked is that they were putting together these runs. It wasn't home runs. I was thinking about this earlier today. I'm okay with the Padres not hitting any home runs the entire season. Who cares? If they're going to string together runs like this and find a way to win games like this, then I'm okay. I don't need the big three-run home run. That's great. But if they can win baseball games playing small ball, having a runners in scoring position opportunity in Xander Bogaerts blooping one in into left center, having Jake Cronenworth take advantage of a bad pitch from the Giants and hit one down the line. Like, just do those little things. Tyler Wade even today, I know it wasn't hit hard, but just put the ball in play and look what happened. I was super encouraged by that. And it's one game, so I understand that. I don't want to overreact to it, but what I've seen so far this regular season from Jake Cronenworth in these three games, it's been very encouraging. Comeback player of the year. Maybe I'm not thinking Edwin Diaz stands out as someone that could, right? Reese Hoskins, guys that had injuries last year for pretty much the entire year, right? And they could come back and have strong seasons and they win it. And I understand that. But in terms of someone that sucked last year and could end up having a really good season, Jake Cronenworth would be the Padres comeback player of the year, right? If he can have a good season, I mean, that's the guy. There's other guys that had down years. I guess Manny Machado as well, but Jake, it was a really bad year for him. And then he had the injury there at the end. And he's in a prime spot, I'll say this, to have a huge year. It's a good spot to be when you got Bogaerts and Tatis in front of you. You got Manny Machado and Ha-Sung Kim behind you. We'll see if there's an addition of Tommy Pham as well at some point. Jackson Merrill, where is he going to be? I continue to be impressed by him. Where is he going to be in this lineup? But being there, that left-handed hitter there, you got to throw good pitches to Jake because you don't want to pitch to those other guys. So I'm loving what I'm seeing from Jake. Don't try to do too much. I think that's going to be the message that's reinforced to him if he ever tries to do too much and tries to be someone that he's not, like he did last year. And he has admitted to maybe trying to do too much, pressing too much, caring too much about living up to that like he just signed the contract coming off the 2022 season. So if he can just be himself, line drive hitter, take advantage of those good pitches that you're going to get from the opposition, I think Jake is set up to have a great season. It's his second season, full season playing first base. He's going to be comfortable there. Xander Bogaerts, it seems like there's a good transition over to second base. We know what Ha-Sung Kim can do at shortstop. Manny, when he comes back, hopefully in a couple weeks, defensively at third base. We'll see what happens with the DH situation. But Nando in right, Merrill in center, Profar, he's not the worst defender in left. Like, that's a pretty good defensive alignment there for the Padres. And then you add in that they're playing at Petco Park, and that makes it even better. So yeah, let me know in the comments. I'm going to go to Judah here in a second. I see that he's waiting, but it was an encouraging win. It had a lot of everything. Sure, there wasn't the home runs, but you had the good starting pitching. You had some positive signs from the bullpen. You had the Padres get challenged. They got down in this game. They were down 1-0 in the third, came back, got the 2-1 lead. Then they were down again, 3-2, right? 3-2 in the seventh. And then a big seventh inning that they score four runs in that bottom half of the seventh inning, putting together those rallies. And then Robert Suarez was able to shut the door there. Again, Yuki Matsui, good outing from him. He ends up getting the win. Robert Suarez gets the save. He has two in three games for this Padres team. Darvish, that first run that he allowed, I mean, that pitch to Nick Ahmed wasn't even a strike. So, like, I'm not going to freak out about that. We'll see what Joe Musgrove can do tomorrow in game two back in the United States for the Padres, and then Dylan Cease on Saturday, and then Michael King on Sunday. We'll see what happens with the weather. But, yeah, it's off to a good start, right? We know last year that was not a good start, losing to the Rockies. The first two games, I know that they won the last two games of that four-game set, and then they were .500, but that was not a good start to that season, and maybe that should have been a sign of things to come. if this is a sign of things to come this year, it's going to be a different year than last year was. And that's in a positive way, for sure. So I think there was a lot of positives from this. By the way, I'm going to go to Judah here because I know he's been waiting. And then I'll get to the whole Bob Melvin thing, Bob Melvin getting booed. But yeah, Judah, what's up, man? What'd you think of today? Oh, I don't think I can hear you.
How about now?
There we go. Yep, you're perfect.
Okay, cool. So what do you think about that top half of the lineup?
It looks pretty good, huh?
And I was pretty interesting. You know,
I was just talking about Jake obviously hitting third. I had question marks when I saw that in spring training, like, oh, Jake, is he really a three hitter? But he is the lefty that's breaking up the righties. And you have Xander as a leadoff guy. Merrill is the second leadoff guy batting ninth. When the bottom of the order is coming through like that, and then you have the top of the order like that, man, yeah, it's a fun lineup. And Xander, I think him batting leadoff like that, one, the whole double play thing last year, less of that, you would think. And he gets on base, not trying to do too much. Like, that's what Xander is. Him and Cronenworth don't try to do too much. Just get on base, hit for average. And then you have Tatis coming up behind him. So whenever he hits home runs, hopefully Xander's on. So that brings in another run. And then, yeah, Crony, Manny, after Crony, like, you have to give Jake good pitches to hit, unless you want to just give good pitches to hit to Manny Machado, to Fernando, to Ha-Sung Kim. Ha-Sung Kim, Padres like his good bat to ball skills. So yeah, that top half of the lineup it looks really good. It's three games. So as a fan, I'm probably overreacting a little bit, but yeah, it's great to watch for sure.
Dude, I think if the top half just keeps going and doing what they're doing, like, Xander could score quite a few runs.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Merrill keeps just seeing more and more pitches. I mean, he just keeps, like, extending those counts. And Wade, right? Tyler Wade?
Yeah, Tyler Wade, yeah.
I mean, it's kind of crazy. It's really fun, though.
Yeah, Tyler Wade, I think that's a name that a lot of Padres fans didn't know. I'm a baseball fan, so, like, I knew of Tyler Wade with the Yankees and the Angels and, I believe, with the A's a little bit. But this is not, I don't think, going to last the entire year. Like, he's not going to be starting at third base the entire year because Manny's going to be at third. I don't think they're going to DH him. But if he finds a way to get on base like this, it's a valuable piece to have for sure. Like, no doubt about, that's a valuable bench piece to have if that ends up being his role. It's a major league vet that can slide in at any point that you need him. He can play a lot of different positions. Left-handed bat. I'm fine with what I've seen defensively so far. I know there was that big error in the Dodger game, but I've been fine with what I've seen. It's an interesting lineup. You add in Luis Camposano, and hopefully he can take a step forward offensively.
I think he'll be solid.
Yeah. And then Merrill hitting ninth. And yeah, his approach, like, he, as a rookie, maybe you try to do too much, you press, and maybe that will happen at some point here this season. But I'm not seeing that from Jackson Merrill. So yeah, it looks like a good lineup. I'm not saying it's the best lineup in baseball, but with these three games, which is all we can judge off of for this year, getting off to pretty much the best start that it can.
Could be 3-0 though. Could be 3-0. That would have been so nice. That would have been amazing though.
Yeah, just totally the air out of they already had all the drama going around with Ohtani, and to win both games there. I know they won the second, a lot of runs scored there.
What do you think will happen with the whole Ohtani thing?
It seems like I'm taking Ohtani by his word that he didn't bet on baseball, but through a spokesperson in that ESPN article, he had a quote saying that, yeah, he helped Ipe pay off the debt. And then it's just kind of conflicting stories there. So I don't totally believe Shohei, but I believe Shohei when he says, like, he didn't bet, like, because I believe that he is all in on baseball. Sure, you see pictures of him at different sporting events, but that's really because it's a free ticket and yeah, he'll go. I believe that's definitely Ipe that's doing that. And it's believable, like, the whole people questioning, how did he get into Shohei's account? Like, well, if you know anything about interpreters, like, imagine us going to Japan and having to rely on a Japanese interpreter that can speak English for us, and he's like that one friend you have, yeah, you're going to give him everything because you don't understand anything about that other culture at that moment. So it makes sense. It's just a sucky situation. I mean, a situation that I'm glad that, you know, we don't have to deal with. And, but, you know, the Dodgers have a ton of talent. They'll be able to still make the postseason with this. I don't think, did they win today?
Still managed to put 100 wins. Yeah, they won, like, I think 1-7.
Okay, yeah.
I think it was the Cardinals.
Yeah, it was 7-1. Yeah, 7-1. Yeah, it's a bizarre situation. But something to, just tying it back with the Padres, we've already got two games down, 1-1. We don't have to worry about the Dodgers maybe when Yamamoto's pitching better. We will at some point, but we got him the first time around, got to take advantage of that, and it's 1-1 instead of being 0-2 like maybe the Giants might be or the D-backs might be, because they get a more gelled Dodger roster, if that makes sense. So, yeah, it's off to a good start, like I said a few moments ago.
No snow either for the first month, probably.
Yeah, that's another advantage as well. Don't have to face snow this weekend. Who knows? Probably not when they face off in San Francisco. So, yeah, Logan Webb, like, I knew that he was going to compete definitely today. Didn't know how well he was going to pitch. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball. So, this is another thing. Like, they win the Yamamoto game. They win the Logan Webb game. And now they've got Musgrove. I know it's been not the best start, but I'm still going to take Joe Musgrove on the mound. You get him, you get Dylan Cease in game 3, and then Michael King in game 4. Like, this could set up for, hopefully the Padres get a series win out of this at least.
I mean, it's going to be a fun series regardless.
Yeah.
Are you going to any of the games this series or no?
Yeah, I should be going on Sunday.
Cool. I'm going tomorrow. Yeah. Probably with my dad. So that should be fun.
Awesome. Yeah. City we Connect went,
like,
night.
Last year too. Like, I think on opening or the day after. It was
Tony Gwynn opening day. Well,
it was a lot of fun.
I guess Tony Gwynn opening day was the second game in Korea, but for us here, Tony Gwynn opening day here tomorrow on Friday. Yeah, but anything else, man?
No, that's all, man.
All right. Yeah, have a good one. Thanks so much for coming on. Sorry, I got to clear my throat. Where was I? Yeah, so 6-4, Padres win. Again, I just think it was a good overall win. Campusano went 2-for-4, scored a run. Tyler Wade scored a run, 1-for-3. Cronenworth, only one hit, but it was a big hit. Tatis, 1-for-4. Bogarts, 2-for-4. Merrill scored a run. I mean, it was just a lot of production. Profar got a hit. He had that RBI single to tie it up, 1-1. It was just a productive day pretty much all around for this offense. So, I mean, I'll take the Padres scoring 6 runs every day. I know they're not going to score 15 every day like they did game 2 against the Dodgers, but I'll take 6 against in a game that Logan Webb starts. Sign me up with that. All right, quick break, and then I'm going to get to the chat. Check out Gaglione Bros' famous cheesesteaks and garlic fries on Friars Road. You can visit their website, gaglionebros.com, for their entire menu and enjoy their cheesesteaks and fries at Petco Park and Snapdragon Stadium as well. All right, GMoney88 says LFGSD. Caesar says, oh, I missed home games. That environment, man, that looks so good. I wasn't at the game because I had work a little bit later in the day, but man, that environment. San Diego, baseball town, soccer town, basketball town with the Aztecs. We love our sports. And you care, you show up, and I'm talking about the team, you show us that you care, we're going to show up and support you. No doubt about that. And pregame with Shiel Seidler throwing out the first pitch to Manny. The national anthem I thought was good. The pregame introductions, the crowd getting amped up for Joe Musgrove and Jackson Merrill and obviously all the other big guys. It was cool. And now I do want to get to Bob Melvin. He was booed. It was a mix. I heard some applause. I heard some boos from Padres fans. And I saw some Padres fans on social media that were not happy that other Padres fans booed Bob Melvin. So I ask you this question. Should Bob Melvin have been booed by Padres fans in that introduction on this opening day? My answer to that is yes. I understand if you're mad about it. I understand if you cheered because you appreciate, like I do, I appreciate that Bob Melvin took the Padres to the NLCS. He took the Padres a place that I had never seen them go in my lifetime. I was not born in 1998. I was born in 2003. So I appreciate Bob. But I am someone that remembers things, especially things that I care about. And Bob Melvin was the guy that left this Padres team. And I get it. It was AJ Preller too. Not saying that it was only Bob, but left this team. And then the Giants press conference was talking about how every time he would go to San Francisco, he'd look across to the other dugout and hope that one day he'd be the Giants manager. And he'd be walking the steps and looking out McCovey Cove and all that. And it's like, really? So you were doing that while you were Padres manager? There's some things that you just don't say, in my opinion. Now, if it seems like Bob Melvin, this is, he used to play for the Giants and he's going back to the Bay Area. He's excited. If I was in that spot and I was going back to San Diego, let's say, to be the manager of my Padres team that I grew up watching and loving, I would say I always dreamed of this. But what I wouldn't say is while I was the manager of the Padres, he didn't mention the Padres by name, I don't think, but we knew what he was saying. I wouldn't say while I was the manager of this other team in the NL West last year, I would look across the dugout and hope that I would be the Padres manager. I wouldn't say that. I just wouldn't say that. Maybe me and Bob, obviously Bob Melvin and I are different, but that pissed me off. When Bob Melvin said that, that pissed me off because we already had players that were quitting and admitting that to the media, just not all in. And then you have the manager give mixed messages, like say fans are great, thank the fans, all that. And then, but at the same time, you're like, well, I wish that I was with the Giants. That's where it's like, it just rubs me the wrong way. And so I think both things can be true. We can appreciate Bob for what he did in 2022, but not like what he did in 2023 and the Giants press conference. And we're Padres fans. Bottom line, we're Padres fans. He's on the San Francisco Giants. This isn't like it's the Texas Rangers or a team that there's no like rivalry with. No, he's on this an NL West rival. He's on the Giants. He's the bad guy now. So I'm totally okay with fans booing him. I'm not saying that you curse him out or you go across the line. I'm definitely not saying that any Padres fans did that either. I have not seen that. I'm not saying you do that, but I'm totally okay with you booing him. He's on the Giants now. Totally okay with it. It's not like he did nothing wrong. It's not like he, you know, the contract was up with the Padres and he left and it was all on good. It was a good departure. No, it wasn't. I mean, all that talent that he had last year, don't make the postseason. Sure seems like wasn't giving his full effort there at the end. And I understand that it's probably easy as the manager to like just be tired of Josh Hader and be tired of some of these guys. Just be tired of the year, be tired of AJ Preller. But what happened last year? We're never going to forget. He was the manager of that team, the most talented team that we may ever see as Padres fans, or at least like in my lifetime so far, most talented team on paper that I've ever had as a Padres fan. He was the manager. They didn't make the postseason. And then he leaves for the Giants and he says those things at the press conference. So I am totally okay with people booing him. Does he care? I mean, I don't really think he cares. Like, he wanted to be with the Giants. That's his team. Mike Schilt seems like a guy that wants to talk baseball. He cares so much about winning for the city of San Diego and for the Padres. I don't want to make it seem like Bob Melvin didn't care to win for San Diego, but he probably cares about winning for San Francisco, for the Bay, more than he does for San Diego. I'm just getting the vibe with Mike Shildt. Like, he really cares about winning for us, winning for the Padres, for the city of San Diego. And he's committed, and he'll be there long nights, and he has that, like, A.J. Preller connection, where with Bob, from what I've heard, Bob, like, just wanted to get out of there after games. It's not like he was sticking around. So that's where I stand on it, but let me know. Bob Melvin, did you think that he should have been booed by Padres fans? Did you boo him if you were at the game? Would you have booed him if you were at the game? I'm curious, because that was a topic that came up. Fernando Tatis Jr. had some sick cleats honoring Peter Seidler today. I don't know if you guys saw that. At Talking Friars on Twitter, on Instagram, I posted the picture of those cleats there. Just getting back to the fans. Wow. I was not down there, but sure looked like that was an electric atmosphere. A lot of fans stayed for the Aztecs game, which I will get to here in a moment. But let's continue here with the chat. Nooney says, amazing way to start off, LFGSD, for sure. Brady's Baked D, what a game. What a game. I didn't know if they were going to pull through, but it was nice to watch. G-Money 88, the Korea trip brought this team together. That's definitely a valid point. We know last year there was the Mexico thing, right? But there was the WBC, so different players were away, and there were more stars in that clubhouse than there are now. There's still stars, but there were more egos, more guys that were on their walk year in that clubhouse last year. And this year, long flight to Korea, long flight back. When you're in Korea, there's a lot of people that don't speak the same language as you. You've got your teammates. And Ha Sung Kim hosted, and there were dinners. It just seems like, yeah, they got closer there. And with Peter Seidler passing away, there's probably a bond there as well to win it for Peter, win for the city of San Diego, for the faithful, right? It's the hashtag. So, yeah, I think the Korea trip helped bring the team together. That doesn't guarantee that you're going to go win games on the field. But it's off to a good start. It is off to a good start for sure. Let's see here. Yes, I will be going to a game soon. Yep, Sunday and then hopefully Tuesday. Blur619 says, of course, he should have been booed. Brisk JC says, he said he always wanted to be a Giant. JK says, honestly, if he didn't say what he did, then I'd have a problem with the booze, but he said it and went to a division rival. Yeah, that's kind of like, if he didn't say that, then yeah, I'd probably have a little bit of a problem with the booze, because it was Preller's fault as well, not just Melvin, for what happened last year and the breakup. But those quotes just really pissed me off. JK says, what's our 2024 boo list again? Like, who are we booing? Well, anyone on the Dodgers. I'm not a fan of Max Muncy, for sure. Shohei Ohtani, definitely. Bob Melvin. Blake Snell is I'm not booing Blake Snell. Unless, like, he is like a full heel turn, but that's not going to happen with the city of San Diego. I don't see that happening. So, there's a difference between Bob Melvin and Blake Snell, you know? What are other just baseball players in general that I'm not a fan of? I mean, just go through the Dodgers roster, Giants roster, obviously. There's not a lot of stars there, so it's not like, oh, I passionately hate this person on the Giants, strongly dislike this person on the Giants. Just thinking around baseball, maybe some Padres fans would do that with Bryce Harper with the home run that he hit, but I grew up as a Bryce Harper fan when he was with the Washington Nationals. So just like personally for me, that's not who I would do. Are Padres fans going to boo Juan Soto when the Yankees come to town? maybe some would, but I don't think so. I wouldn't personally. I don't like that. Like, I mean, while I like the honesty of last year, that quote about quitting, I hate that that even came out of his mouth at the same time, if that makes sense. But he got traded. Now, did it seem like he was fully invested with the Padres? I'll admit, I don't think so. But were we expecting him to be here long-term with the Padres anyway? I wasn't. So I don't really have any hard feelings toward Juan Soto. I'm not going to boo him, but I'm sure some fans would think about booing Juan Soto for some reason. For me, it's really like, I'm not a big fan of Jock Peterson. It's really Dodgers players, Giants players, except Blake Snell, led by Bob Melvin for sure. I'm probably forgetting some people, but let me know who I'm forgetting. I'm not the biggest fan of Arenado, probably just because of the Machado-Arenado comparison. And some people think Arenado is like the best thing ever. And like Machado, I think he's on that same level with Nolan. And I'm just a big Padres fan. So like Manny's my guy. I'm going to back Manny. Buck Showalter's no longer managing or else he'd be on there, you know, with the whole Joe Musgrove thing in the postseason. Oh, yeah, Josh Hader. Yeah, Josh Hader. I guess I was just thinking of National League team. National League teams. But yeah, Josh Hader is one. Yeah, that's one. It's like Bob Melvin, though. Like, I appreciate what he did in 2022. But, man, that left a bad taste in my mouth, 2023, with what happened there. So, yeah, Josh Hader's on there. Sure, Altuve, you could, you know, the Astros guys for all that. But I'm not a Dodger fan. So, I don't like that they cheated and the whole trash can banging. But I'm not as emotionally attached to that as, oh, I hate the Astros as much as like Dodger fans are. So, I mean, I actually like watching Jose Altuve play baseball, to be honest. I like some of those guys. They're not like my favorite players, but I appreciate how great Jose Altuve is. I like watching some of those guys play. So those guys aren't really on my list, but yeah, Hader, yeah. Bob Melvin, Dodgers, Giants, those are guys that stick out. Eric Hosmer, but he's retired, obviously. All right, let's get to the San Diego State Aztecs game today. San Diego State playing UConn. UConn coming in as the big favorite, although you wouldn't think that if you listen to UConn's head coach, Dan Hurley, whining about, oh, the bus rides. He didn't say the bus rides, but San Diego State has to take a cross-country flight. They get back to school at like 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, less than 48 hours later, they take that flight to Boston, where all UConn has had to do is bus two places to Brooklyn, played MSG for their Big East tournament, Boston. They get a home crowd there, home crowd in Brooklyn, like, give me a break, okay? It's March Madness. You're going to get tough matchups. Stop whining. And UConn, they showed that they're the best team in the country. 82-52. Huge win over San Diego State. So San Diego State's season comes to an end. And why did it come to an end? Well, it was Jaden Ledee and not a whole lot else. Ledee plays 30 minutes, 18 points. Parrish, 10 points. But it just wasn't good enough shooting wise from the rest of guys. Lamont Butler, 2-for-7. Micah Parrish, 4-of-9. You like to be a little bit better. Not a lot of three-pointers were even shot in this game for San Diego State. 5-of-22 from three. UConn was 10-of-26. And I mean, the commentators, they continued to hammer the point about offensive rebounding and just rebounding in general for San Diego State in this game. And I agree. Like, that was a huge issue. And Jaden Ledee, for the first time all season long, he looked a little bit small going up against UConn in this game. Klingon, My goodness. What is he? 7'2"? Spencer, the guard. They've got so much talent on this team. Yeah, 7'2", 280. He's a sophomore. Donovan Klingon. He only scored 8 points, but look how many rebounds he got. 8. Castle, 11 rebounds. Newton, 7 rebounds. Carabin, hopefully I'm not botching that name. Probably just did. 7 rebounds. 18 points from Spencer. 17 from Newton. 16 from Castle. I mean, they out-rebounded San Diego State. Let's see here. 50 rebounds compared to 29. And then offensive rebounds, 12 for San Diego State, 21 for UConn. Like, UConn just out, they like just bullied San Diego State, out-physicaled them. I'm not saying that they wanted it more. I am not going to say that because San Diego State, we know that they wanted it. We know how much they grind, and they are a March team. Like, no doubt about that. I am not going to go that far, but they just didn't play well enough. UConn out-rebounded them. They got extra chances. And when you give a good offense, you know, the best team in the country, extra chances, and you're not playing that well offensively, you get Jaylen Dee, and then you got commentators on the broadcast. Someone get Jaylen Dee help. And I agree. And we've seen that multiple times this year from San Diego State. Get Jaden Ledee help. And there just wasn't enough. And there was just too much firepower on UConn's side. So, look, the Aztecs, they were not supposed to win this game, but I was not expecting them to lose this game by 30 points. It didn't really seem like they, except like, you know, first half when it was like 7-7, but, and they did have a lead briefly there, but it just never seemed like San Diego State was going to win this game. Again, they weren't supposed to, so I'm not like super bummed out by it. I look at it, you know, great team. UConn, this UConn team was better than Alabama last year. Like, there's a difference between the one seed San Diego State beat and the one seed UConn here that they lost to. I look at it from the last 2 years, this run, what a freaking run. I mean, Jim Russell put out this tweet. I don't like to credit him very much. You know, sometimes Jim's an idiot. Not literally. It's an inside joke or outside joke. If you know me and his relationship, me and John and Jim's relationship, you know I'm joking. I love Jim. But he put out this tweet. What Brian Dutcher and these players have accomplished the past 2 years, a Mountain West regular season title, a Mountain West tournament title, a Final Four, a national championship appearance, back-to-back Sweet 16s, the best two-year run in Aztecs history. And yeah, I agree. I mean, last year was freaking magical. To win the regular season, the tournament, and then to go to the national championship game, you beat the one-seed Alabama, you beat Creighton, the Lamont shot, how that brought the city together like that, it's unforgettable. It was amazing. And then this year, there were struggles. But guess what? Keyshawn left. Nathan Mensah, not there. Agueka Rope was on the bench. Couldn't play, obviously. Out of eligibility. There were struggles. On the road, great at Viejas, but on the road, not good enough. They didn't win the regular season conference. They didn't win the conference tournament. But still, they had a really good resume. They beat Gonzaga on the road. Like, that's impressive. I know it's not Jalen Suggs Gonzaga or like that, but still, Gonzaga is an impressive team. One of the best programs. You think of college basketball programs, Gonzaga is one of the first schools that you name. And they shot the three ball amazing. Like, that's what they needed to do tonight, was shoot that three ball as good as they did last game to have that shot, that real shot, and they just didn't do it. They weren't going to do it back-to-back games. Three-point struggles were a talking point this season. But when you zoom out, Brian Dutcher gets the extension, the big run last year, making it as a five seed in the tournament this year, having that Gonzaga win on the road, getting into the Sweet 16 again, because you never know what's going to happen come tournament time. So regardless of who they play the first two rounds, yeah, we're going to look at it as they should have won those games, but we see upsets all the time in those 5-12 matchups or in other matchups, right? That's what March Madness is. So it's still impressive that they were able to get to the Sweet 16 this year. And if they would have matched up against North Carolina or matched up against Alabama, who knows what would have happened? They ended up running into UConn in the Sweet 16, which was unfortunate, but I'm still proud of what this team has been able to accomplish these last 2 years. And it's in a really good spot. And yeah, Jane Ledee, how are they going to replace him? How are they going to replace Darion Trammell, Lamont Butler? Yeah, those are question marks, obviously. But Brian Dutcher and that whole coaching staff, David Velasquez, Chris Acker, congrats to him going to Long Beach State to be their head coach, I believe. But this coaching staff, everyone, they know who they recruit. And so those guys, when they get plugged into this system, this program, they're going to work. They're going to play defense. And San Diego State's going to continue to contend for Mountain West titles and get into the tournament. And then you see what happens, right? It's hard to go to the Final Four. It's hard to go to the national championship game. Look at the best programs in the country. They don't go to the Final Four every year. It's hard. So what San Diego State has been able to accomplish last 2 years, Sweet 16 appearances back to back, that's freaking impressive. That is. So they're in a good spot. It sucks that they lost, but I was expecting it. UConn's one heck of a program, one heck of a team. I don't like UConn as someone that went to St. John's, and I'm a been a San Diego State fan my whole life. Seeing San Diego State lose back-to-back years to UConn, it sucks. I'm not a fan of UConn, but I'm still proud of what this program was able to accomplish. All right. Some of the great partners of the show, just a reminder, Underdog Fantasy, 100% deposit match up to $100. They've got great pick'ems, which started today on opening day. It was during the Korea series as well. There's March Madness, obviously. The women's tournament as well. I think that's more entertaining. That's what I'm going to be focused on now that San Diego State is out. They've got a lot of great stuff over there. 100% deposit match, up to $100. Code Talking Friars. Click that link in the description. SeatGeek, same code. Talking Friars, $20 off your first order. Breaking Tee, Padres, Aztecs, Wave shirts and sweatshirts. Link in the description there. San Diego Wave, they play Friday night. I'm sure most people that are tuning in, they're watching or listening to this on Friday. So later tonight, you can get your tickets. San Diego Wave's website hosting Seattle. San Diego lost their first home game last weekend. Hopefully they can get a win and be back to 500 in the regular season coming up on Friday. Naomi Girma will be throwing out the first pitch Saturday at the Padres game. Hoping that the weather is good. Dylan Cease will be on the mound, scheduled to be on the mound. Padres obviously playing tomorrow, Friday night, Saturday at a little after 4. I think that's a national televised game. And then on Sunday afternoon before the Cardinals come into town for an intriguing series there. A lot of people think the Cardinals are going to go win the NL Central. There's the Cubs there. The Brewers, I don't think so, but you never know with Pat Murphy, his first year. They got worse, but There's still some interesting talent there. That's what we got on deck here. All right, finishing this out, going through the chat here. Let's see, where did I leave off? The boo list. JD's third says, if Mike Shildt never, he said something else other than Shildt, but I'm just going to say Shildt. If Mike Shildt never takes us to the NLCS, will he be booed too when AJ's chews him up and spits him out like he's done to 6 managers in 10 years? I guess it depends on how it happens. If Mike Shildt like loves the city and you can tell how much he cares after losses and all that, then I guess it matters like what happens after that. Then like Bob, he's getting booed. Sure, maybe for 2023 a little bit. But what happened with the Giants and his comments there? I think that's mainly why he's getting booed. If Shildt doesn't do that, then I don't really think so. But I don't even want to get in that headspace because, look, let's be optimistic. It's game 4 tomorrow of the regular season. The Padres have a winning record. Things are going well. Good home opener. Split the series in Seoul against the Dodgers. Like, let's not get into that mindset, all right? It's March 28th. Brisk says, glad season's back. Post-game shows like you and John and Jim. Yep. Yep. Games are back. Season's back. Nothing like it. Nothing like opening day. All right, let's see here. JK says, yeah, we were down by like four in the final minutes of the first half. We just played 20 minutes of bad hoops, I'm guessing. 20 minutes of bad hoops, unfortunately. Yeah. And the thing was like even when San Diego State was scoring, they weren't getting stops on the other end. So that obviously was an issue. JK says, I want my 2020 Aztecs to take a run at it. Need that time machine. Yes, that's what we need. Yeah, we can't. Yeah, that's probably dumb of me to be forgetting about that. When you look back at these like last four seasons, 2020, they might have been a one seed, right? In that tournament, if COVID didn't happen, who knows what would have happened there? And then you take into account what happened in. Well, they made the NCAA tournament, right, in 21, one of those years. I know they lost first round, but then they were able to redeem themselves in that long tournament run. And then this year, getting back to the Sweet 16, it's been a heck of a run here. And I don't want to make it seem like, oh, been a heck of a run, it's over. Like, I still think that this team, like, the program is in a good spot. Jonathan said, oh, actually, hang on. Let me get to JK first. JK says, St. Louis winning the Central? I think their manager might get canned by July. Well, that is interesting because he was given a two-year extension, I think, not because the Cardinals super believe in him, but because they wanted the talk to just go down. They didn't want to have to deal with those questions for Ollie Marmol. If it's not headed in the right direction, I mean, maybe he would get canned because managers don't make a ton unless you're Craig Counsell. And so it's like, yeah, whatever. Doesn't count towards the luxury tax. So, yeah, we'll fire him. But, like, who else are the Cubs ready to go win the division? I don't know. The Brewers, I don't think they're going to. Reds, I don't think so. Pirates, no. So it's really, like, between St. Louis and the Cubs. If you don't really believe in the Cubs, then isn't it St. Louis? Is St. Louis going to be that bad offensively back-to-back years with the talent that they have? I think that's where a lot of people are headed there with the St. Louis pick. Jonathan says, do you think the Padres can sweep the Giants? That would be a good start for them. Yeah, I think they can. You look at the pitching matchups. Yeah, Musgrove. The way that this offense is performing. Yeah, of course. I think that they can. I think that it'll be 3 out of 4. It's hard to have a 4-game sweep over anyone, even if it's the Oakland A's who had probably like more people protesting in the parking lots than actually going to the game tonight, which I love to see, by the way. Oh, yeah. Don't go to those A's games, A's fans. Why are you going? You got an owner that doesn't want to be there. Don't go to the games. Protest. Like, I am totally behind A's fans with that. It's hard to win 4 games in a series against any team. So I'm saying 3 out of 4, but yeah. Michael King, even game 4. Dylan Cease, game 3. Yeah. Sign me up. I think it's doable. All right. I think that's going to do it. Talking Friars episode 579. Hopefully everybody enjoyed the show tonight. I apologize for those that may have been waiting on me. Maybe they were thinking I was going to go live right after the Aztecs game. I was working. Long day. But I had to get this in. So I appreciate you. For tuning in, probably on replay, podcast platforms, or on YouTube. Have a great rest of your Friday. If you are listening on Friday, have a great rest of your night if you are live here. And yeah, I'm excited that the Padres season is really like underway now because it's back in the United States. See everybody.